Good morning, friends, and welcome. It's great to have you. Thank you for joining us. I can use my imagination and just about see you. I know right where you're sitting in the chairs this morning. Well, thank you also for trying a brand new thing with me. It's exciting for me to try new things, and I really appreciate your willingness to go along with me. I'm here with Lee Butler. We're at a pond here in Bel Air, right beside John Carroll High School. And this provides the perfect backdrop, perfect setting for our scripture, for our sermon, and for our theme. Scripture this morning is the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 14. Our setting in the Bible was down by the lakeshore, by the Sea of Galilee, near Capernaum, Jesus' hometown. Let's go there. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat by a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate, and all were filled. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, there he was alone. Amen. A friend of mine recently shared that she hadn't been to church in about 3 years. I was shocked because church has always been something that's very important to her, a very important part of her life. And 3 years is a long time. Nothing bad happened to her or her family. Nothing bad happened at church. She simply stopped coming. And then COVID hit, and she hasn't been back. She wants to go back. She even feels a little guilty that she hasn't been back, but she hasn't made that step. So what is that? What is that thing out there that's blocking her? What's stopping her from making that move? What stops us when all of a sudden in life we stop coming to church? What stands in between us and God? I don't know. She doesn't know. Sometimes that's just the way it is. The demands of life, even when life's not all that demanding, just sometimes overwhelm us. When I was a kid and my mom would call me for dinner and I wouldn't immediately respond for dinner, my mom would say, "What are you waiting for, a written invitation?" Well, no, I wasn't. Who knows why I didn't come to dinner? I just didn't. Maybe I was doing something else or preoccupied, or maybe my mind or my brain was just somewhere else. Might have been funny if I called her out on it sometimes. "Why, yes, I would like a written invitation. Put a wax seal on it. Have a courier deliver it. Send it upstairs. I'll respond in a fortnight or so." I never did that. Might have been fun to try it, but we probably all know there's a fine line between being funny and talking back to your mom and I did want dinner that night, so I decided not to talk back to Mom. Well, maybe you found yourself in a place where God seems far, far away. Maybe you found yourself in a place where you feel totally disconnected with God. That is normal. Everybody gets there. Everybody ends up in that spot from time to time, especially during quarantine, especially through COVID. People have been disconnected with family, disconnected with friends, disconnected with work, disconnected with life, disconnected with church, disconnected with their passions and their interests and things they love to do. And of course, disconnected with God as well. Well, I want you to consider this a written invitation. And it comes totally guilt-free, no judgment whatsoever. I don't judge you. God is not judging you. God doesn't think less of you, whether you're near or far. But God wants you back. And so consider this an invitation, a written invitation. Come and join us. Come back to God. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to be focusing on prayer. And what better way to reconnect with God? I mean, that is what prayer is. That's what prayer does. Prayer reconnects us with God. It's conversation. It's talking to God. It's building a relationship with God. It's listening to God. And it's finding yourself at peace and being at peace with God and the world, even when you don't get an answer, or even when you don't get the answer that you're looking for. We're going to be using a book called Learning to Pray, written by a Jesuit priest named Father James Martin. He's a pretty popular Jesuit priest. I enjoy his books and his Bible studies. He's a good priest. He's a good guy. And on a personal note, he grew up with my wife. They've known each other since they were kids. They grew up in the same section of Philadelphia together. The book and this series focuses on 5 different ways to pray. Some of them might be familiar. Some of them might not. But the hope is that you will receive it as an invitation to come back to God, to reconnect with God, and deepen your faith with God. The first kind of prayer is called Ignatian contemplation. It's a kind of prayer that defines the Jesuit life. But if that sounds too lofty or too complicated or even too Jesuit for you, we can just call it imagination. That's what it is. It's imagination. Using our imagination to reconnect with God, using our imagination to deepen our prayer life, using our imagination to deepen our faith. More specifically, through contemplation, through imagination, you're being invited to imagine yourself in a particular setting in the Bible. You place yourself as if you're there, right in the Bible, on the scene, in the moment, so that you're experiencing what Jesus experienced. You're experiencing what the disciples experienced. You're experiencing whatever any character in the Bible that you're reading about in that particular moment. And then you let your imagination go wild. And you let your thoughts take over. And you let your thoughts lead you and go wherever it is your mind is going to take you. That's really exciting, because imagination is really exciting, especially for dreamers and daydreamers like me. I love travel. It's a passion of mine. It's one of the things that I love most in this world, seeing new things, seeing new parts of the world. But it's not always practical. Can't always afford to do it. Don't always have time to do it. And so when I can't actually travel, I need to find ways to scratch that itch. And I do so with imagination, dreaming, daydreaming, letting my mind wander, letting my mind go wild. Books help. Travel guides help. Travel shows help. Google Maps helps. I can take virtual walks in just about any city, almost any place in the world, and if you use your imagination, you feel like you're right there. It brings the world to life. It brings passions to life. That's what this prayer does for the Bible. It brings the Bible to life. It brings Scripture to life. It brings our faith to life. It brings these stories to life. Sounds fun, right? It is. It's a lot of fun. So how does it work? Well, first, you get away. You pick a spot, someplace secluded, someplace quiet, someplace out of the ordinary, someplace like this, maybe someplace at home, maybe at the church. I hope you have a spot. If not, find a spot. And if you need help brainstorming places, talk to me. We'll help you find a spot together. Secondly, pick a scripture. It can be anything from the Bible, anything at all. Some people like the Christmas story. They like to imagine themselves in the stable with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. They like to imagine themselves surrounded by the animals on that quiet, silent night. Or they like to imagine themselves on the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Some people like the Easter story. They like to imagine themselves in the garden, there as they stand before the resurrected Christ. Some people like to imagine themselves at the foot of the cross. And even though that would be a painful and difficult scene to imagine, it is such a moving and touching scene, and so they place themselves there right at the foot of the cross. It doesn't have to be New Testament. It could be Old Testament. You could imagine yourself there at the beginning of creation. You could imagine yourself on Noah's Ark. You could imagine yourself walking behind Moses as he parts the Red Sea. You could imagine yourself standing before Solomon's temple in all of its glory. I chose this passage, the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew's gospel, because of its location. By the water, down by the Sea of Galilee, very close to Capernaum, Jesus' hometown, which might remind you of our sermon series from last year around this time, around the sea, where we traveled to all of these wonderful places in the Bible. This story puts us right by the water, and that's one of my favorite places to be. So when I get away, I like to get away either in the mountains or right here by the pond, right by the water, right by the sea. It's a great place to get those juices of imagination flowing. So then, once you have your location and once you have your scripture, you begin to imagine the scene and ask yourself these questions. What do I see? What do I hear? Who's around me? What do they look like? What are they saying? Are they talking to each other? Are they talking to me? What do my surroundings look like? Is the wind blowing? Is it hot? Is it cold? What would it have been like in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago? Would there have been fishermen out on the sea? Would I have been in the boat with the fishermen? What would Jesus have sounded like? What would it have been like to see Jesus face to face? Can you taste anything? You know, in this particular story, you can. Jesus offered fish and loaves. Can you taste it? Can you taste the fish? After they would have received the fish, they would have put it on a stick and cooked it on the fire. If you've never done that with fish, you should try it. It is delicious. Can you taste the bread? Can you taste the loaves? Especially after a whole day and you're tired and you're hungry, can you taste it? in Matthew's gospel, there is a sacramental parallel with this story in communion. Listen to verses 19 and 20. Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and they gave them to the crowds, and all ate and all were filled. Can you hear it? Can you hear those familiar words? Take, bless, broke, gave, and ate. Those are the words of communion. Jesus wasn't just filling bellies, he was filling hearts and minds and souls. And as you take communion this morning, let your heart be one of them. Maybe in Jesus' presence, bread and fish and wine tastes a little bit like salvation. Amazing grace. I hope it's so. One last thing I want to highlight is that just before this passage and just after this passage, Jesus gets away. I don't know if you caught that or not, but just before and just after, Jesus is getting away. Just before this passage, Jesus found out that his friend and cousin, John the Baptist, had just been killed, had just been beheaded. That devastated him, and he needed some time in prayer to reconnect with God. And then just after his teaching and after this miracle of the fish and loaves, he gets away again. Jesus is doing what I'm inviting you to do, to get away with your bodies, to get away with your minds, and reconnect with God. If it's important for Jesus, it must be important for us as well. So this is your homework. Try this. Get away. Get away with your bodies. Get away with your minds. Let your mind wander. Go deep in the scripture. Let your imagination take over. And more importantly, let God find you. Wherever you are right now in life, God is at work in you. God is at work through you. In the power of your mind, in the power of your imagination, and in your life. And once you get into the habit of doing this and seeing this, you'll see that you weren't that disconnected from God in the first place. God was right there all along, closer than you ever realized. God is within you. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.